How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Matthew Morgan. Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am here with Caleb Rice. Caleb, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Are you excited for fantasy football, Caleb?
I am. Drafting is my favorite part of fantasy. It really is. I love to draft players.
Me too, honestly. When we do the free-to-play leagues, I draft in the free-to-play leagues, and then I just kind of let them go on auto-drive.
Same.
I don't even touch them.
Only pay attention, really, to the paid leagues.
Yes, of course.
I'm the same way.
But as far as fantasy football goes, Caleb, it's not quite that time yet, but the draft is about to happen. Who you think you're going to draft? I know that we can't really talk too much about the rookies right now because they don't have a team, so you can't draft if you don't know the team. But so who in terms of the current NFL players, who are you planning on drafting? What's your strat looking like?
If I have the 101, I'm probably either going Nick Chubb or Josh Jacobs.
So, by the way, guys, when he says 101, he is referring to the first pick of the first round. So, the first overall.
First pick of the draft.
Yeah.
If I had it, I'm either choosing one of those two guys.
Which two guys? Sorry.
Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb.
Really? Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb. You got the man who snapped his leg in half last year, and you got the man who just switched teams after being hurt.
I know, but I feel like they're going to have a nice bounce back year.
You'd better hope so.
Let's do yours.
See, I always plan on drafting more safe. Like Saquon Barkley is usually a good pick when you play fantasy because, I mean, he's good when he's not injured, but he always ends up injured. So that's why I just usually, like, if Saquon's there, like, late round, I'll take him because, like, he's there late round and he is good when he's not injured.
Do we trust him on his new team?
Which is, I can't recall.
No, it's, the Eagles.
Saquon on the Eagles might be all right. I mean, I don't know, because they are, I mean, I don't know how much of the offensive line retired, but I know that Jason Kelce retired, which is, I mean,
I believe he's the only one that they lost.
I mean, cool then. But, I mean, Philadelphia with Saquon back there might be nasty, honestly.
I just feel like they're going to want to throw it a lot.
I mean, Saquon's not I don't think Saquon's he's not an awful pass catcher.
Right. He is a pretty decent receiving back, but I don't know. I like those people that are just going to get a lot of runs. Because do you feel like Green Bay runs the ball a lot?
Hold on. Before I answer that, if you guys have anything that you'd like to add to the conversation, or if you guys play fantasy football or anything of the sort, just have anything to add to the conversation, feel free to give us a call at 740-383-9944. We'll be happy to take your call. But I mean, I think the Packers, like to think they run the ball a lot. They always talk about how that's their scheme and how they want to pound the ball, but you see, the issue is every time I watch the Packers games, it seems like they always start out running the ball. But the farther and farther they get into the game, it's like the farther and farther they stray from the game plan, like, every time. I seem like halfway through the game, they're always just throwing the ball. Like, I feel like when they stick to the game, I mean, like, there's a statistic out there that we win the majority of the games that Aaron Jones was healthy. So, I mean, obviously the run game has something to do with it.
I'm just looking at Jordan Love's pass attempts from last year. And, I mean, yeah, he's on average throwing the ball like 37 times. So, yeah, you guys are passing the ball a lot, but I don't know.
I honestly don't think that we thought we had the receiving core that we had. I mean, the receiving core that we have is all young. I think everybody thought that there was going to be more of a growing curve than there was. But then all of a sudden, Christian Watson, he didn't really step up to the plate this year, unfortunately. Yeah, but he's also battling the injury issues that he's been dealing with for his entire career. But, I mean, like, Romeo Doubs stepped up. I mean, Jaden Reed stepped up. I mean,
you guys do have, like, one of the youngest teams. Like, your team got younger, did it not?
Yes, yeah. We're the only team that got younger in free agency.
That's so crazy to think about.
Crazy stat, isn't it? And we were already the youngest team in the NFL.
And playoff contenders at that.
Yeah, youngest team to ever make the playoffs, now that I think about it. Yeah, look at that. The Packers are stacking it.
Definitely a dynasty you're building up there.
But, I mean, I always supported Jaden Reed for wide receiver one, but I think Jaden Reed plays better in the slot most of the time. I don't know that Jaden Reed is, I don't want to say he's not built for wide receiver one material. He definitely plays better out of the slot. That's where we usually run him. He's definitely the slot guy. But, I mean, we play him at wide receiver two sometimes, and he's solid at wide receiver two. He catches everything that we need him to. He was our leading receiver last year. He was a rookie.
That's what you want from your rookie.
Michigan State.
I don't know if they're known for making wide receivers. I don't think they are.
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think that Michigan State's really known for much of anything, but I'm not too good in the realm of college football, so somebody could probably fact-check me on that. But, I mean, like, Alabama's usually your wide receiver school, or LSU, not really.
I mean,
LSU hasn't really...
They had that crazy roster where, like, Waddles was on the team.
Yeah, but besides that, what has LSU really done? They weren't all that crazy before Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and Jalen. Jalen Waddles was no Tua. You're talking about Alabama.
Oh yeah, my bad.
But so yeah, like Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase basically were that team. I mean, there's definitely more players. I didn't watch the college football. They were the main two players of that team. Like it was quite obvious. I mean, you even had Thaddeus Moss in there, the son of Randy Moss. And that man, I don't even know if he's on a roster. Last I knew, he was on a practice squad, which is like a call-up squad, basically.
I don't think he is.
Let's see here. Thaddeus Moss.
But while you're looking that up, what's your number one pick? If you had the 101.
Man, I don't know. That's a good question. I always like to look at the board before I make any choices, just to, you know, get a good idea. But off the top of my head, I'd have to go with, I don't know, man. It'd probably be a running back or a wide receiver.
Right.
I'd probably end up going with I might end up going with Tyreek, something like that. I mean, you'd be placing a bet that Tyreek did what he did last year, but, I mean, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't do what he did last year.
Right. Justin Jefferson lost Kirk Cousins, which is
huge. Oh, by the way,
for
those of you who do not play fantasy football, if you watch football, I'm sure you know, but the Dolphins with Tyreek, he was making, like, mayhem this year. Oh, by the way, Thaddeus Moss was released by the Bengals. He no longer plays on a team. But, what was I saying? I forget.
You're going on about what Tyreek Hill did last year,
right,
in fantasy.
Right, yes. But he was putting on a whole tirade in fantasy, and everybody thought him and Jalen Waddle were going to be the greatest 1-2 punch in the NFL, but it turned out that Tyreek Hill himself was the greatest 1-2 punch in the NFL, because when Tyreek Hill was injured, the Dolphins did not play well at all. But when Tyreek Hill was alive, when Tyreek Hill was not injured, I should say, they put up...
Tyreek only missed one game last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I thought he was injured for some reason, but that one game, I guess they didn't play well, but, I mean, they put up 70 that year, last year, on the Broncos, I do believe.
Right, Denver, the third week.
I mean, putting up 70 on a team in the NFL, I mean, that's commonplace in like, college football. So if you only watch college football, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, 70.
I don't even think colleges really get to 70, though. Usually, like, they're at 50, because then they throw in, like, the second-string players to let them get reps. I mean, putting 70 up on a team, that's disrespectful. You're doing them dirty.
I mean, the Dolphins, you know, put up 70 on the Broncos, which is absurd.
It was
it's actually
20,
absurd in the NFL.
Right. I think that was, like, historically, like, of the biggest difference in a game. 50 points. Or close to it.
I mean, it was something. I mean, you know something we didn't talk about? What do you think about Russell Wilson getting cut for, what was it, $85 million, something like that?
I feel like it was a move Denver had to make. Like, they just, I feel like they're in the same spot that the Browns are in, but the Browns aren't going to let Deshaun Watson go. I feel like they gave him too much money up front, and now that they're your
Well, I mean, I don't there. Think, I think, I don't think anybody, I mean, I don't think a genius, or sorry, I don't think it takes a genius to tell you that they overpaid Deshaun Watson. I mean, Deshaun Watson,
it was like, what, 236 guaranteed?
Something like that. Like, it was absurd. Deshaun Watson hadn't been a huge, like, great NFL player.
Well, because he missed those games for the, years for the allegations.
I don't know that he missed years for the allegations. I mean, I know he was out for a while, but, like, either way, like, they paid him $200-some-odd million guaranteed. That's crazy money in the NFL.
It is.
I mean, that's crazy money anywhere. I mean, $200-something million a year is, or not a year, a guaranteed over the course of however long that contract was.
Sorry, he missed a year and 12 weeks of another season.
Well, I do believe he missed a year because he was sitting out to go, because he wanted to go to a different team, and then he signed to the Browns, and then the allegations came out, and then he was suspended for those games.
No, the allegations been out, and the trade didn't go through until the, like, they suspended him until the contract, or, not contract, until the, he was suspended, but not, like, kicked off. That's why, like, he missed all of 2021, and then in the offseason, they said that he was missing the first 12 games after he was already signed to the Browns.
I mean, I don't know. Deshaun Watson, I just don't think that Deshaun, I don't think that anybody is worth $200-something million a year. Cause
guaranteed, not like, it was,
I keep saying a year, not a year. Over the course of his contract.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. He was the,
see, I mean,
most guaranteed contract ever.
I talked to a lot of people when that happened who were excited for the Browns that they got Deshaun Watson. They thought they finally got themselves a quarterback. But in my head, I was thinking to myself, all that money that you paid Deshaun Watson, you can't pay anybody else. So now Deshaun Watson basically has to carry your team because that's a large hit to your cap. And you have to work around your cap. So if you can't pay any other players, Deshaun Watson has to carry the team. And that doesn't always work well because, I mean, with how much Deshaun Watson's getting paid, you might have problems paying the skill positions like the wide receivers and the tight ends. And if you have problems paying the skill,
see, or even the line that protects them.
Yeah, see, I was about to say, and you almost have to make a sacrifice because you can either decide to pay the line and have a good offensive line, but then you got to have mediocre receivers. And if you have mediocre receivers, then, I mean, or sorry, and if you have good receivers, then you can't have a great offensive line. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's really, a, I mean, that's why you see all the time, like, real big players get put on free agency, because they just, I mean, as much as they want to keep the player, they just, they can't afford to, because they wouldn't be able to pay any other players on the team that would make the team viable.
I'm looking at, like, the projections on where people are going in fantasy football. How do you feel about Anthony Richardson right now being ranked the number 3 quarterback in the league for fantasy? Remember, the rushing upside does, you have to think of that as well.
So, Explain the rushing upside for everybody. So, a lot of people who listen to the show might not be knowledgeable of fantasy football.
So, for quarterbacks, if a quarterback throws a touchdown pass to a receiver, it is worth 4 points. And this is just default said, like stats or point scale. Your league might be different if you're in one. But base league settings is if the quarterback throws a touchdown, it's worth 4 points. Plus the yardage and everything else for the pass. But if he runs it, it's worth 6 points rather than four.
Therefore, it's called a rushing upside because you get more points if he rushes it. So quarterbacks who rush have an upside to them because there's a more possibility of points. But personally, I don't like the rushing upside in quarterbacks because, I mean, obviously I like it, but I like it more for players like Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes because Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are more, they're not so much scramblers as they're improvisers. They get out of the pocket, and they basically just like to make time and make space with their legs, so they give their receivers more time to get open. Whereas a scrambler is more inclined to take the open rushing path. But when you have a scrambler quarterback in fantasy, sure, you might have an upside in terms of how many points they're going to gain. But at the same time, you also have the chance, like Anthony Richardson. He had four rushing touchdowns in a game. He was doing phenomenal that game. And then he got a concussion. And four rushing touchdowns for a quarterback will do that, especially in the NFL, transitioning straight from college. It's a whole different level, whole different speed.
I apologize. I had it only set to a filter. He's ranked 10, not 3.
Either way, I mean, I don't know. I guess 10's not awful. Is he a starting quarterback?
He is.
Okay.
He's the starting quarterback for the Colts. He played only five. He got hurt in the fifth game. But in the... he didn't play week 3 either, actually. But he was ranked 4 week 1 out of all the quarterbacks, ranked 19 week 2. Then in week 4, he was ranked 2. But then he didn't play week 3, and week 5, he was ranked 29, but only played 33% of the quarterback snaps that week for the Colts.
Who's the Colts' backup quarterback?
Joe Flacco.
Man, I don't know.
Wait, maybe Joe Flacco takes the...
See, that's what I'm saying. I'd almost consider...
Joe Flacco.
After the performance at the Browns, I'd almost consider starting Joe Flacco, letting this man develop some. You see, like I said, I'm a big fan for development. The Packers do it all the time. Creates Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Anthony Richardson was producing, though. Like... the stats, like week 1 stats, he threw 37 times, completed 24 passes for 223 yards, threw one touchdown, one interception. He rushed the ball 10 times for 40 yards, 4 yards per carry for a touchdown. And then, like, he's doing pretty good. Like, he produced in the little time he had. Maybe they brought in Joe. Do you think Joe Flacco would sign and just be a backup?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, a lot of people were talking about Joe Flacco signing to be basically like a glorified quarterback's coach as well. He's basically a quarterback coach who just happens to be on the depth chart as a secondary.
Do you think maybe he's just there to be what you just said, a mentor for Anthony Richardson, and then if Anthony Richardson so happens to have another tragic season-ending injury, Joe Flacco's gonna step in like he did it for the Browns?
I don't know. Because, I mean, I don't think it would make much sense to pay Joe Flacco. I mean, I don't know how much money they're paying Joe Flacco. I don't think it's anything in insane like the Deshaun Watson contract we were talking about, which was a few years back. But,
it's a 1-year deal, $4.5 million guaranteed, up to $8.7 million.
Yeah, I don't think you offer...
So it's not like he got a big contract for the role.
But $4.5 million to be a glorified quarterback coach is pretty good.
I mean, not really. When you're, like, thinking, like, Patrick Mahomes, if he hits on all of his incentives.
Well, I mean, that's a whole different thing. You literally just compared Joe, like a backup quarterback to
right,
the
so
current
he
best
got
quarterback
a,
of all time.
Okay, but,
or,
like,
sorry, the current best quarterback in the NFL.
But Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the greatest contract in the league. You also have to think about that. He's just one that I can think of off the
Well, I mean, his contract is pretty good. It's, I mean, I don't know how much money of that's guaranteed, but it's it, back when he signed it, it was a 10-year, $500 million contract. So, $500 million over the course of 10 years, that's pretty good money. Also, once again, if you guys have anything to add to the conversation or just want to talk about fantasy football or football in general, the phone number is 740-383-9944. But I don't see them paying Joe Flacco that much money to be a quarterback's coach. I mean, I don't know how much the typical quarterback coach makes in the NFL, but...
Like, I looked up Tua. I felt like Tua's... I mean, I guess Tua's probably closer to top 10 than a mid-quarterback. Who would you say is a mid-quarterback? Let's get on this topic. Because everyone...
Who would I say is a mid-quarterback?
Yeah.
I would say Kyler Murray at this point is pretty mid. Man, hold on. Let me look at some quarterbacks.
Didn't Arizona overpay Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
See, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, a good mid-quarterback that got paid to be a mid-quarterback.
I mean, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo has ever been paid anything incredible.
Yeah, but he just got signed to a backup role, essentially, because Jared Goff didn't retire.
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford. I forgot. But Jared Goff's contract is $33 million. Guaranteed is $57 million, but that's for the entire contract.
How long is the contract?
4 years.
I mean, 4 years, $50 million for who?
Okay, it's Jared Goff. His cap hit in 2019 was $10 million. Then in 2020, it was $28 million. 2021, it was $10 million. 2022, it was $31 million. In 2023, it was $30 million.
I mean, Jared Goff led a team that could have went to the Super Bowl.
He did. And, like, I think that's why his pays were so crazy difference. Because he... Like, the $31 million year and $30 million, those were the last 2 years for the Lions, and that's their best 2 years. Like, they just made the playoffs, and how long was the drought for the Lions not making the playoffs?
I don't know how long it was for them not making the playoffs, but, I mean,
or
last time
playoff win.
The last time I know for a fact that they went to the playoffs would have been when Calvin Johnson Megatron was there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've been since. But I do know that this is the first time in Lions history that they've won the conference.
That's a crazy stat to think about.
First time in franchise history that they sit on top of the NFC.
So, what's your favorite running back? I found out your wide receiver is going to be Tyreek Hill, which is interesting. Tua seems like he learned how to fall, so that's good.
You know, I don't know. Running backs are one of those things that I kind of got to just...
I don't know. Now I'm thinking of about taking Bijan Robinson.
I mean, I think
as my... number one running back.
I'd probably... See, both of my top running backs. The issue with running backs are they're so injury prone.
I know, and obviously, like, there's always going to be Christian, like CMC.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, Christian like McCaffrey, I was gonna say that, like, it, like I would almost take CMC with the first pick, or like I'd take Kyren Williams. I don't know about with the first pick, but I would take Kyren Williams with an early pick for sure.
Like going first round pick, probably like Tyreek Hill, or getting a good solid wide receiver.
Yeah, and then second pick straight up Kyren. Yeah, like he'd be good for that. But like, I mean, Kyren Williams has proven to be injury prone throughout his career, and obviously Christian McCaffrey was super injury prone throughout his career with the Panthers. But I mean, he hasn't been injured all that much since he'd been with the 49ers.
Like,
a Super Bowl chase will do that, I guess. I think my tight end pick still has to be Sam Laporta, though.
Yeah, because I feel like Travis Kelce, because obviously no one's going to produce like Travis Kelce, but he's just too high up on the drafts board for me to choose him. Like,
well, I mean, I would say that Sam Laporta's going to be pretty high on the draft boards this year. I mean, he was, I don't know if he was Rookie of the Year last year, but I think he was in contention for it. Sam Laporta was, I think he broke a record for production as a rookie.
I'm looking at it right now. It goes Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, TJ Hawkinson.
Man, Evan, they're putting TJ Hawkinson. Kyle Pitts,
Dallas Goedert, David Njoku, Dalton Kincaid, Pat Freiermuth, Cole Kmet, all over Sam Laporta.
Those are some rough.
I know.
That can't be right. It just doesn't sound right. I don't think that I wouldn't take the majority of the guys you listed over Sam Laporta.
I know. Like, Dallas Goedert.
See, that's why if you play fantasy and you really rely on internet sources, you got to be careful, cuz a lot of them will give you like
biased.
Yeah, they'll either be biased or they'll have like or they'll really want to give you like basically like a diamond in the rough player, like a late round, like, I mean, to be fair, I will say that the late round is really where you win your games at, because it doesn't, like, matter how good your starters are, because if your starters get hurt or go on bye week and your second stringers can't carry it out, then that's a losing team.
So, who are players you feel like are going to, like, fall, like, their draft stock's going to fall, and, like, some good gems that you can grab later on? Because, obviously, everyone's going to be grabbing the people that we already mentioned.
Well, I don't know, because I haven't done any drafts yet, and nor have I really looked at any statistics or anything like that, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, typically, I just kind of pick, like, the players as they come on the board. Not
Kyren,
like,
Williams
exactly, but
right now on the Sleeper fantasy app is sitting at overall being the 108. Like, not the, like, 108, sorry. Like, 108th player off the board. If everyone chooses
108th,
like,
overall.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, I suppose, but I feel like there's better options. But I feel like a lot of your diamonds in the roughs are going to come as rookies. Especially if you have a dynasty league where you draft a team and then you keep that team and the only thing you draft after that are rookies. It's more like real life where you have to deal with age and injury. Well, I guess you have to deal with injury in fantasy anyways, but you have to deal with age and you have to deal with inexperience, because you want the rookies, but the rookies might not always produce until later in the career. But if you don't take the rookies, somebody else probably will. It's one of those things.
And, like, we won't really have a good gauge on the rookies until we know which team they're getting signed to, like, who's the players around them, because the players around the people that you draft do matter.
Yeah. Like, personally, I had Bryce Young doing a lot better than he did coming out of college, but I can't fault Bryce Young for not doing as well as I thought he was going to, because if you were a Panthers fan, I'm sure, if you watched the games, that every time Bryce Young hiked the ball, he was basically immediately scrambling out of the pocket and either throwing on the run, throwing under pressure, or getting sacked. Not to mention, he had, I think, two wide receivers on the NFL's list of people not being able to
get free.
Get separation.
But like right now, on the sleeper league, Justin Jefferson is the number one wide receiver.
Still,
I have to disagree with that.
I would say so. I don't think Justin Jefferson put up number one overall picks last year.
He was ranked 33 last year.
Is that overall or is that wide receiver?
Wide receiver. Overall,
I know he got hurt.
Six. Yeah, he did miss 7 games and only took 18% of the wide receiver stat or wide receiver hikes of the last game. But I wouldn't choose him, not even because he got hurt last year, because of Kirk Cousins not being on the team. We don't know who's going to be throwing him the ball. So I'm staying away from Justin Jefferson this year. I really am. I would much rather have, like, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, all over him.
What do you think about Joe Milton? Joe Milton, I'll give you a rundown. Joe Milton is a quarterback prospect out of Tennessee. He had a performance in the draft that a lot of people liked because he was fast. And, well, I wouldn't say fast, but he was abnormally athletic for a quarterback, and he threw it for like 80 yards or something like that.
Oh, I've heard of this player. See, I just feel like they don't, like, yeah, it's you want a quarterback that can throw it 80 yards, but, like, there's more than just your arm strength and how far you can throw the ball. I would rather have an accurate, like, a Dak Prescott over someone that just heaves the ball downfield.
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, he didn't perform, like, crazily well in college. But, I mean, I think that he would be all right if you took him with a later pick and then sat him behind a franchise quarterback and let him develop for a few years. I think he'd be a decent starter, or at the very least a good backup. I mean, he's got the arm, he's got the athleticism. If he dials in his accuracy, he's...
Like a good backup for fantasy or for, like, the NFL?
The NFL, real life.
Okay.
Not fantasy. He's probably not going to get playtime anytime
soon.
That's
what I was about to say.
Anytime soon, he's not probably going to get playtime.
But, I mean, yeah. But...
I don't know how true it is, but I saw this video on the internet that said... I believe you sent it to me. I saw this video on the said that said... this video on the internet that said... there was an NFL scout when talking about Joe Milton, and he said, if you need a quarterback to throw it 80 yards, Joe Milton can throw it 80 yards. If you need a quarterback to throw it 20 yards, Joe Milton will throw it 80 yards.
Yeah, I sent that to you.
So I think you get that accuracy dialed in. I honestly think he wouldn't be a bad quarterback. He has the arm strength to hit deep passes. He's got the mobility to get out and create timing. I don't know how well his basics are. Like I said, I don't watch college football, but if his mechanics are well, I mean, honestly, you tighten up the footwork a little bit, tighten up the mechanics, and dial in the accuracy, and you probably have a good quarterback.
Like, I really want to watch film on him to, like, really get a good opinion on him, because on the video I sent you, both times, like the first time for the 80-yard pass when you need him to throw it, the player was wide open, but then if you were watching it when he, like, should have taken the under route that was wide open, he was still, like, tunneled vision in on the person running the streak down the field.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of college quarterbacks like that, because college is very different from the NFL, and college is a lot of one reads. And if it's not one read, you either run the ball or, like, it's not very often that they actually have you scan the field. There's a lot of one reads and then takeoff, or one read handoff, one read short pass. So, I mean, to a sense, I guess it almost makes a little bit of sense for a quarterback to be dialed in like that, to be tunnel visioned. I mean, breaking that tunnel vision is going to be a big thing, but if you break, like I said, you get the mechanics down. You probably tighten up on the footwork. You can always tighten up on footwork. in mechanics. The basics are always essentials. And then you dial up on that accuracy, and he'd probably be solid.
Right. You can't necessarily teach someone to throw a ball 80 yards, but you can teach someone footwork and, like, how to put a spiral on the ball. I get that, but...
Yeah, you can't teach arm strength or athleticism, but you can teach accuracy and mechanics.
The fundamentals.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I get that, but... So, what overall would you take him at? I mean, I haven't looked at many, like, mock drafts, but...
If I'm being honest with you...
I feel like he has to be, like, a third-round quarterback.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm, like, knowing little to nothing about college football this year, I would say he'd probably be a solid third or fourth round pick.
Which, at that value, I would take him. Like, I think second, like late second, I understand. But
I don't know. I feel like late second, you might be pushing it.
It just depends on your team's needs.
I mean, I guess it depends
on
how desperate you are.
Yeah.
Man, Caleb, we got 10 minutes left. It's flying
by.
Time
flies. What quarterback do you like this year?
You know, Caleb, here. Actually, I got a question. It's more of a... Man, I can't find any... Here we go. All right. So, I got me a notepad here. A note card here. And I got me a pen. So, all right, Caleb. Quarterback. Let me get your quarterback.
Well, if I'm choosing a quarterback,
you get your first pick from every position. I'm gonna compare my first team to your first team.
Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you have to go Patrick Mahomes. But if I'm not choosing Patrick Mahomes, I really like. I'm the opposite of you. I love quarterbacks with running back upside. So, quarterbacks I like personally. Like Lamar, obviously. But I really do like Anthony Richardson. I know we've only seen a little bit of him, but I just really think, like, if he falls later on some of the drafts we do, you'll see me picking up Anthony Richardson. Like, here, I'll look at people over that are projected to go over Anthony Richardson, who I'd much rather have. You have Justin Fields. I would much rather have him over that. Dak Prescott.
You would rather have Justin Fields over who?
No, I would rather have Anthony Richardson over Justin Fields.
I was about to say.
Dak Prescott. These are players that are chosen, like, on the Sleeper app that are projected to go before Anthony Richardson, who's still the ranked 10 quarterback. What? You have people like Trevor Lawrence. I'd rather have Anthony Richardson over Dak Prescott, Justin Fields.
All right, so, Caleb, you got Patrick Mahomes as quarterback.
Okay.
Sorry, you're good. I got Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Who's your running back?
Let's go Bijan Robinson.
I'm gonna have to take the risk on this one and say CMC.
I mean, like, he is the number one ranked guy. I just feel like him being 27.
I mean,
he's
with
still
what
young,
he did last year. With what he did last year with the 49ers and how well the 49ers line blocked for him, I think he's gonna do well. What about your wide receiver, Caleb? Who's your wide receiver?
CMC only had two games where he wasn't ranked 15 or better, and he was ranked 17 and ranked 21
Who?
For those weeks. CMC.
Yeah, CMC. Like I said, CMC,
like,
had an incredible year.
Balling.
Like, I advised a lot. Like, I even advised one of our friends against drafting CMC because, like, I've always been a big CMC hater because, like, when he's healthy, he is fantastic, but he's not
injury prone.
He's always hurt. But this year,
he had a healthy season.
Yeah, but this year he wasn't injured at all, and he was one of the best running backs in the NFL by far.
Overall three.
Yeah, he was incredible. Oh, but also, who's your wide receiver?
I gotta go Ja'Marr Chase.
Ooh, Jamar taking the risk there.
Well, I mean,
Jamar didn't play all too hot last year, Caleb.
I know, but
he's got a lot of competition over there too. There's a lot of people to throw the ball to over there.
I mean, you're going to say Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill has Jalen Waddles on the other side of him.
Look at the statistics, and I guarantee you they favor always Tyreek Hill.
I know, and that's.
Right, I mean, you might be able to make the same argument for
Jamar Chase.
But Jamar Chase has a lot more talent around him. Jamar Chase has T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Stanley Morgan. He's all right as a slot man. They've got Joe Mixon. They've got who they got at tight end now? Hayden Hurst.
I think they brought in Mike Gesicki.
They got Mike Gesicki. Like, there's just too many people around him for him to be a viable top wide receiver pick in my eyes.
But there's too many people around him for them to always double cover him, too.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you see, that was the thought when the Bengals drafted John Ross back in the day. John Ross ran a 4.22 fastest 40-yard dash in NFL combine history, 4.22 seconds. For 40 yards. And
I feel
so
like
they took him super early because at the time they had A.J. Green, who was in his prime, and they were, I mean, the Bengals at this time were doing good. But they drafted John Ross because they thought that John Ross would have the ability to take the deep threat, so that they would have to either make the defense, make a choice. They would either have to defend John Ross in the deep ball and leave A.J. Green open with phenomenal route runner, or double cover A.J. Green, make sure A.J. Green doesn't get open, and risk getting the deep ball burned by John Ross.
But here's my issue with that. The NFL always has these wide receivers that come into the league that are crazy fast and underperform. I feel like if you're fast, you need to have great footwork and route running to actually be successful. I feel like route running over speed is more. I would much rather have route running over speed in the NFL.
I don't know. I think that speed in the NFL is a lot of the times a crutch.
I'll give you
that. I think that when you are a phenomenal route runner, like Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest people in the NFL, maybe the fastest man in the NFL, right?
But I'll give him, he's probably one of the best route runners.
Yeah, exactly. Tyreek Hill is also one of the best route runners, which makes him how good he is. Because he's got both the crutch and how fast he is, and the natural-born talent of the route running. So, Jalen Waddles, I like Jalen Waddles, but it doesn't seem to me that he's as good as a route runner. But he's arguably just as fast, maybe a tiny bit slower than Tyreek Hill. But he's not open nearly as much because he's just got the speed behind him.
But for my tight end, that's next on your little list.
Yep.
I have to go Cole Kmet.
Really?
I've always been a good Cole Kmet guy. I just feel like he's a great value.
Who's your guy at slot?
The flex? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go. Let's go Breece Hall.
Another risk. Caleb's taking all the risks.
I mean, Breece Hall had the ACL tear.
What did he end up doing last
year? He did pretty good, and he also had a little competition back there in the for the Giants when the Giants also had I can't think of his name. Then he came from
what position?
Running back.
Where'd he go?
To the Jets. He was
from where?
I want to say the Vikings. He's on Baltimore now. 1 second.
All right, but my slot, I got Jaden Reed. My flex is Jaden Reed. I think Jaden Reed is going to be incredible this year. He was incredible last year as a rookie, and I think he's only going up from here. The Packers definitely are going to utilize him more. I mean, they utilized him a lot last year, his rookie campaign. Who you got as defense? I'm not going to run down the whole independent defensive roster with you, but we can do defense.
I got to go Patriots. Patriots have a great defense, and if our players can stay healthy, it's only gets better from there. Last year we had a lot of key players get hurt, taken out for a season.
You know, I don't know who my defense is going to be. That's a rough one. I should probably pick, though. I got a minute left to pick here. I think I'll probably have to go with either the Lions or the 49ers. I'm probably going to have to go with the 49ers just because I feel like the 49ers defense is
good. They lost Jamar Chase, or sorry, not Jamar Chase. Chase Young and Armstrong.
You mean Eric Armstead?
Or, yeah, Eric Armstead. My bad.
I mean, yeah, so I'll go with the Lions then. Well, I was going to run it down, but with the last 20 seconds here, I don't think I got time. So, Caleb, thank you for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'll be on here every Friday, roughly 10:15 to 11 o'clock. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks for listening, and join me next week. Thank you.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism.